Hey, y'all.
Pretend we're football for the next hour. I'm your host, Will Baser. I'm joined alongside by Johnny Brashear and Tim Preston, as always. You guys are listening to the Hornscast channel, which you guys can find on any podcasting platform out there. We're going over some pretty obvious stuff today. Basketball. That's what we talk about on the show. Still talking about it. Still happening. I know it's baseball season, and that's happening. And I know the XFL is happening, so it's still football season. But it is still college basketball season, for those who are unaware.
Which is most Texas fans, so yes.
Yes. Yeah, Texas made an oopsie in Ames, Iowa, and lost to the last place team by, what was it, almost
22,
30 points?
23?
20, no, oh, no, that 28. Was like 20, 28 29. Points, yeah. 29, yeah. So, yeah, that's quite an oopsie. Another oopsie on Shaka Smart's career. So we're going to talk about where he stands, and it's not good. And on top of that, funny thing, John Boeheline is leaving the Cavaliers. He left last night, it was reported. So that's throwing some stuff into the fire. Let's go ahead and sit around and talk about that. So, Johnny, let's, you know, honestly, I just really want to get into the Iowa State game. And let's just talk about Iowa State, the Iowa State game for an hour. Do you think we can do that? Think we can pull that off?
I mean, we could, but it's going to eventually involve me just like talking about the play by play, like just listing what I see in the actual box score. Like, oh, so that guy had two steals. That's all right, I guess. And then the next guy had none. That's not very good. And then that guy had some turnovers. That's not great.
Are we going down the box score?
Yeah. We're going to spend 6 minutes on why Drayton Whiteside playing is the crime against humanity, because now Shaka has ruined the last bit of perfection on this team.
And that's honestly why they should fire Shaka Smart. That is the reason.
I am suddenly in favor of a midseason firing.
Yeah, there's no other reason.
Yeah, he is a beautiful, perfect little being, and it's like a Fabergé egg that Shaka just shoved up his butt and then cracked it.
It's just, how could you ruin perfection like that? And that there's really no other reason to fire Shaka Smart other than that. The fact that he ruined Drayton Whiteside.
That alone is worth $10.5 million in remaining salary.
Tim, I know you would gladly pay $10 million to keep Drayton Whiteside's career squeaky clean.
Yeah, I tried to. They turned it down. CDC said no thanks. So sorry, everybody. Blame him, not me. Well, if you're looking for stuff against Iowa State, I guess the biggest thing is we didn't score very much.
Okay.
And they scored kind of a lot, honestly. And
hang on, I'm going to check. Will Baker, check the math on this. Hang on. It's
Will Baker
that's
took
correct.
Eight shots.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
And none of them were threes. So that's kind of incredible.
But he made one.
So he is just as capable of missing twos at a high clip as he is of missing threes at a high clip. So that's good.
He also missed a free throw, so there's that. So
we've been talking all year long about this knife's edge, and apparently losing Jericho and Jace turned that knife's edge either into a hairline knife or into a non-existent knife. And
or they just got split down the middle. They just are cut. They got cut.
Yeah. I mean, in Iowa State, you'd like to say, wow, they really turned the corner and Iowa State just finally kind of turned it on, even though Halliburton is out, but then they got shit on by Kansas. So that's out of the question. Maybe a month and a half ago or whatever it was, I think at least, Will, was it you and me and Jeff Haley that we were on Twitter or something like that? Maybe it was John. I don't remember for sure. I was probably drinking. But we kind of all were like, we might not be very good. I think maybe there's a chance that we're not very good. I had said that. And then Haley's like, yeah, I think that might be true. And darned if it wasn't. Doggone if it wasn't true.
Yeah, unfortunately, when Haley says something like that, he's usually right. That's the problem with...
Damn it, Haley, why can't you say we're good?
Yeah,
because then you'd be right.
This is the problem.
This is all Jeff Haley's fault.
Well, this is the problem with knowing a lot of nerds, is that they tend to burrow into numbers, and he has few peers in the analytics department when it comes to college basketball. So when he says that, it's like, okay, DEFCON 1, everybody. Let's just...
What about Dick Vitale?
Get the hard hats.
What about Dick Vitale? Fuck that old fuck.
No one knows numbers like he does. What, like, that guy's an analytics genius.
He knows as many numbers as he can count on his hand. And like, I feel like he's missing a couple fingers from Woodshop. So
Bill Walton is an analytics genius.
Bill Walton is a psilocybin genius. He's not an analytics genius. Like...
What about Digger Phelps?
Is he alive? Is he still alive?
What about Michael Phelps?
This is awkward. Yeah, Michael Phelps works. Yeah, that's fair. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so here's a great...
What about Severus Snape?
He's
good with numbers.
Here's a great number. Well, great or terrible, depending on how you want to look at it. Texas scored 0.78 points per possession against Iowa State, who is objectively one of the two worst defensive teams in the Big 12. And an offensive rating of 100 is considered average. Like, that's a, you know, sort of an average game from a player in a given game. Texas had zero players who cracked 100 in
that
game.
Not even Courtney Ramey with 21 points?
Yeah, well, he was 4 of 13 from 2. So... That really kind of knocked
him
out.
He also had more turnovers than assists. So.
Yeah. So his offensive rating was 98. Kai Jones was 95. Meanwhile, Iowa State had 5 players over 100 and another guy who's at 92. And like the walk-ons who came in, and one of whom hit a 3, because that seems to be the pattern this year, is Texas lets walk-ons hit 3s in the waning moments. None of them played enough to get an offensive rating. So I'm sure if they had, they would have been over 100. So great game for Texas to not only shit the bed offensively, but also defensively. Good job, everybody.
Great effort. Especially with Shaka Smart's job on the line here. I believe I asked y'all, if Texas loses one of these two games, then blank. And both of y'all basically said, he's over. It's over. It's the final nail in the coffin. And it was about, 5 minutes into the first half when I was like, all right, well, there's the nail. There's the coffin. There's the hammer. It's happened. So.
Yeah, I was.
It's happened.
I was at a memorial when this game started.
Like, yeah, I saw that. That was kind of ironic. Ironic. I don't know what the word is for that.
Ironic is that I got more positive vibes out of that memorial than I did checking Twitter when I left and seeing the score at about halftime. Or early second half is when I walked out. And I saw...
At least there were good memories, probably.
it was someone who did not overcome their addiction, and yet the stories from that memorial were more positive than... the tweets I saw about Texas basketball in the second half, where I saw somebody, I think it was Brian Davis, who said something to the effect of, they're just trying to get out of here without any more injuries. And I was like, okay. Well, all right, I guess I know what article I'm writing today.
I was taking my kids ice skating and then got home and watched it. Got a lot of text messages from my Cyclone friends and then drank a lot.
That's
a whole lot.
That's your fault for having Cyclone friends, honestly.
What am I going to? Well, come on. I mean,
I went grocery shopping. I had a lot of more fun than I did watching that game.
Yeah.
Ooh, what's your grocery store of choice?
I was at Trader Joe's for this one just because they have some very good salted caramel and some good cheesy puffs. So
was that high-end for Texas for grocery stores?
Look, if Will, like, if Will Albertsons. Is there, it's high-end because he does not slum it. He doesn't slum it.
No. Central Market. I don't know if you've ever been to Central Market.
No.
That's a good place.
Is that like a Harris Teeter or something like that? You guys heard of Harris Teeter?
Oh, yeah, dude, definitely. I know all about Iowa's grocery store lines.
Harris Teeter is North Carolina, my guy. That's what we live in North Carolina.
Okay, well, I definitely, same thing. I know all about, dude, I'm a grocery store connoisseur.
Harris Teeter sounds like a third-rate Dukes of Hazzard villain.
Well, our options in North Carolina, there was, you could go to Walmart, which, look, Iowa, Cedar Rapids, Iowa Walmarts are disgusting. Rural North Carolina Walmarts are infinitely more disgusting. So you could go to Walmart, you could go to the Piggly Wiggly, or you could go to Harris Teeter, or there was an Albertsons. Mm. We went to Harris Teeter.
Okay.
Because so. Albertsons has like the blue lion, is that right? That's in Texas, I want to say.
Yeah, there are Albertsons around,
Would not know. Yeah. I would not know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would not know.
They're not owned by a wasp, therefore Will is not going to go there.
Yeah, Will orders his Icelandic bottled water.
He says about the only Jewish person, the most diverse person in this group of all white dudes.
Sir,
I'm bald.
I'm like a quarter German, so.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
there's a weird power dynamic going on right now.
You brought it there, Johnny. You brought it there. let's go ahead and bring it back to the Iowa State game and really what this means for Shaka Smart, because it's not a pretty sight. It's not a pretty sight. When I passed by his house the other day, they were doing some renovations on it. So I think they know what's happening. I think everybody knows what's happening. It's time, right? It's been time. And now after that game, we can probably safely say, yeah, this Shaka Smart era is done.
I mean, I'm not going to say 100% just because I don't know what CDC is personally thinking. I hear rumors in secondhand, whatever. So you never know for sure. I would say that if CDC is half the athletic director, I think he is, or that sort of popular opinion has him as he understands the dynamics of the situation and that this is just not tenable anymore. So I don't see a way in which this season ends with Shaka getting another year, frankly. Like, I just don't see a viable path there, which is part of why I wrote what I did on Bark and Carnival, is because it's just, you know, when Jericho's injury came to light, that felt like sort of, I don't know, it was that last moment of, okay, Jesus, there's just no way. Like, this is... There are no more mulligans. There's no more whatever you want to call it. Like, this has to end, because even if you want to characterize Shaka's tenure as sort of snake bitten, if you look at like Cameron Ridley's injury and then Andrew Jones's leukemia and, you know, that sort of stuff.
Tevin Mack
being an idiot.
Jericho Sims,
you know.
Bombas. Last five games.
Yeah, Hayes being out for the last few games, like that, all that kind of stuff. Like, there's a writer I talked to who said something the effect of, Shaka gets shit on by birds so much that it feels like at a certain point you just have to say that guy's always going to get shit on by birds. Like, that's just who he is. Like, he seems incredibly unlucky, and I don't see any way he's not going to continue to be incredibly unlucky, at least here. I mean, I
don't care how close that parking spot is to the Walmart front door. It's under a tree.
Yeah.
Fuck that parking spot.
Right. And it seems like somehow, even if Shaka parked, like, as far away from that parking spot as possible, there'd still be a bird that goes, hey, I like that. Let's go hit that. A quarter mile away. and I could see Shaka parking a quarter mile away just so he could do more sprints and push-ups or something. I don't know. The guy's very focused on that sort of thing. So it seems like it's done. I can't think of a way in which this would not be done other than some sort of grand fuck-up by CDC in terms of remaining salary, that sort of thing.
Well, we talked about how Tom Herman's status is still at least somewhat in question. Obviously, Karen Aston is also somewhat in question. So there is some money out there that needs to be spent, or at least potentially needs to be spent over the next you know, 12 to 24 months. Does that put a wrench in what's going on here? I guess I really doubt it, but I don't know. I think what seems like the nail in the coffin to me with this is when you couple, you know, all the double-digit losses, the blowout at West Virginia, the blowout at Iowa State, the fact that, like, you know, one day Sims is capable of playing through something and the next day he's done for the season. Like a lot of this just really screams of the team is done. Like they understand that it's finished. And look, if a coach has gotten to that point with the program, I just don't know that you can. I don't know that you can. I don't know at this point that you can keep him on. Like whether the players are ready for a fresh start, whether the program is, whether just like this everyone collectively. I don't know how you bring him back, given the fact that not only did it just like spiral out of control, but it just got so bad in such a terrible way that you sort of just assume that this is done. So yeah, and if you know all this made more so by the fact that, as Will said, there is a potentially very viable candidate who comes without needing to have some kind of buyout on that end, which, you know, if CDC feels like, hey, we've got some options here that maybe aren't as expensive as what we were thinking, then that could, you know, force his hand even faster than we thought initially. So, when we were 11-22, there were a lot of games that we were still very competitive. Last year, it was so frustrating to see us lose a lot of games where we just didn't execute down the stretch.
And this year, we came in with the expectation that, hey, you have Matt Coleman coming in with another year. He's a junior. Courtney Ramey coming in with another year. Jericho Sims. And we obviously knew that the front court was the issue here. The back court, though, was supposed to not be an issue. You had Andrew Jones, Matt Coleman, Courtney Ramey, Jace Fabris. You had depth there. And well, it just never materialized.
And even more so, a down Big 12, which I don't think you can argue. This year has been a down Big 12. You know, the statistics say that, the metrics say it, the win-loss records of everyone other than Baylor and Kansas says it. And we still, not only have we not taken advantage, but this has been, you know, the second worst season that we've had, and arguably the worst when you think about how competitive that 11-22 team was against a very good Big 12. So, yeah. It's like if there are look, and I obviously I am a Shaka fan. I am a Shaka fan, and I think that he's got some good seasons and some good coaching left in him. But if there is a pro Shaka at Texas fan left out there, I would love to hear what that guy's bullet points are for saying like, oh well, we should keep him because of this.
Here's one point that I thought was interesting, and this is definitely a devil's advocate right here, but John Boeheim took 5 to 6 years at Michigan before he started to become really good. Now,
well, that's been my comment the last couple weeks too. I mean, yeah, like there's coaches that do that now, and without being silly about this, if Shaka gets another year, there will be a part of my psyche. And, you know, like Johnny said, it's not impossible. Like CDC could decide that. It's not impossible. If that happens, there is part of me that will still believe, okay, turning it around is not impossible. But Boeheim didn't lose like Shaka is losing. I don't mean like the record wasn't good. I mean like have these kind of games getting blown out at a shitty Iowa State team. That kind of optics, when you're talking about a coach that knows he's on the hot seat, is a little bit different than Penn State's current coach struggling a few years ago, and Ralph Willard at Seton Hall struggling, you know, in year five, or Boeheim or whatever. Like, yeah, they struggled to kind of get traction, but it wasn't like this. It wasn't. It just didn't feel like this. Like to have this is just such a weak year from a strength of schedule context, is such a weak year from a conference context, and yet we're still really bad. So yeah, you're accurate, and I have no problem like arguing that point that you're right, but it's just different. This just seems different, I guess.
3-5 in his first 5 years in terms of tournament appearances. He was, his first year was 10-22, which is okay for first year.
Yeah,
second year, 21-14.
He made the tournament 3 times in 5 years, and Shaka has not done that.
Right. No, I understand. I understand. I'm like, I'm trying to, there's going to be people who are detractors of John Boeheline saying, why would we get rid of a guy in his fifth or sixth year when it took Boeheline 5 or 6 years to really start going? And, you know, there's something to be said about that, but a guy who seems to have already figured it out potentially, is that what we're looking for here in John Boeheline?
Well, Sweet 16 or Elite 8 and then National Championship game and then Sweet 16. Like that's the pedigree here from the last like 5 years when he was at Michigan. So like that's whatever your frustrations were with him when he was struggling at the beginning, like that's the most recent data points. So there's a pretty easy sell on the other hand if people want to point to his struggles early on.
Johnny, what do you think?
Well, so if we're going to go into sort of the Boeheline pros and cons, which is fair enough. The pros for Boeheline are that his offense is invariably well executed. It's productive. He has a very good offensive mind. He knows what he wants. He knows how to teach it. He knows how to sort of build a system. And more to the point, if his players diverge from that, he knows how to sort of accommodate them pretty well. So on the offensive end, he knows how to win in a major conference. I mean, he clearly did that in the Big Ten. He did it in the Big East back when the Big East was sort of still the Big East. He's willing to let high-level assistants run things, which is, it's an increasingly common trait, I guess you would say, but it's still the minority. For example, Jaklic, when he brought Jaklic in and said, you can run the defense, and he let him run the defense. Like, he knows how to defer to people with a significant level of expertise in a given area. You know, he made the NCAA tournament nine times in 12 years at Michigan, and the years he missed were mostly at the beginning, in the early years. So those are all pros, right? Like, his pros are definite pros. I understand why people are excited about him. I'm not against him by any stretch of the imagination. He has a very high upside, right? Like, the guy came in second twice in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, Texas fans, myself included, would love to come in second twice in the NCAA tournament ever, right? Like, they still haven't gotten that bad.
Would we? I mean, I know we would. Yes. No, listen, I understand. I understand where we're coming from here, but like, it hurts a lot to come in second. It does.
I really want to feel that pain again.
I almost feel like I wouldn't want to feel that pain rather than I would. Like, no. Do I want to feel the way I do about the 2009 football national championship?
Oh, it's different.
For basketball?
It's so
Are
different.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Because you win 5 games in the tournament leading up to that.
Yeah. And it's still, I mean, the Final Four is such a rare thing. Even for the best coaches, that is a rare thing to attain. So
is a national championship game. Like, come on.
It's not as rare. It's not as rare in football. It's just not.
They beat like an 8-4 Nebraska team to get to the championship game that year.
Yeah.
That's not the same as winning 5 games in a tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to get to the Final Four in basketball that the fact that he was able to do it twice and win another game on top of getting to the Final Four, I will be happy to sit here on Pretend We're Football and talk about why the fuck this team is only in the top 15 every year and why can't they actually win that final game? Like, oh God, we're runners up 2 times in 5 years or whatever it is. Like, I'm happy to have those discussions because it's a lot better than this. Well, so what do we think of the CBI bullshit? Like, it's, I've been in the fucking sewers long enough that I am ready to hang out outside the penthouse. Outside the penthouse is great compared to the sewers, right?
Please, like, sit on me from outside the penthouse and not from over the top of the sewers, right?
I would be super ecstatic to be close to on par with Kansas, right? Like a half step down from Kansas is a pretty good place to be, frankly. And I'll take that because Texas only had that for, let's say, about 5 years in their history. So if we're going to talk about, so we talked about pros with Bayline. I want to talk about cons, and some of these are
please
sort
do.
Of
some that of these is your are, specialty.
Thank you. By the way, I would like it noted that someone on Surly Horns referred to me as an optimist by nature, and they didn't say it ironically. Just
that person wow. doesn't know what they're talking about.
I don't think so either. But you're gonna
also
have to,
if but if they're an optimist, if they
regardless.
Think you're an optimist by nature, then that dude must be a nihilist.
Yeah, probably. It's entirely possible. Well, no, actually, he said like me, he is an optimist by nature. So
incredible.
Look, yeah.
Did he get our names mixed up or something?
I don't. He seemed pretty certain about who he was talking about. So anyway. You guys suck. He's my new podcast host. Anyway, next topic. the cons for Bayline here. The first one for me is that his tempo is...
Welcome to Fuck Johnny for the next hour.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm Will with Tim Preston.
I'm going to get fucked for an hour? This is... Wait, is this supposed to be a negative? I'm not seeing the downsides here.
It's the bad type of fucking. It's the type that you're like, oh no, I need to say the safe word, but I can't.
Yeah, this is not a this is not like when Tim and I
I'm
were
swallowing
in Kansas
my
City
teeth.
Together. That's for sure.
Separate rooms, Will. Separate rooms.
So yes, Bayline's cons. Before we diverge into 90 Day Fiance talk, his tempo's slow. It's very slow. He is not quite Tony Bennett at Virginia slow, but he's not far off. So if you are a fan of basketball that gets up and down the court, he's not going to do that. He's very efficient. His teams rarely turn the ball over, but they are not, you know, it's not North Carolina 2.0. If he doesn't keep Jaklic, if Jaklic decides to take a head coaching job somewhere, whatever, right? If Jaklic doesn't stick around, Bayline's defenses are going to be kind of sketchy. Like, they're not going to be terrible, but his offenses will definitely be ahead of his defenses. Like, that's sort of why Jaklic made his name, is because he sort of provided that kind of final piece to what Bayline seemed to be missing. Texas fans will remember Bayline's teams torching the shit out of Texas in the NCAA tournament not too long ago, but Texas was still scoring buckets. They just were trading twos for threes.
Fucking Pitsnoggle.
There's also that. Yeah, maybe that's a pro, that it would drive West Virginia fans insane to see Bayline in the Big 12, not with them. He is 67 years old. I mean, that's whatever you think of Bob Huggins, right? Like, there's a lot of people who think Bob Huggins is sort of on a 3 to 5 year plan. Well, Bayline's a year older than Huggins. He's 6 years older than Calipari. Like, he's not a young dude. And he's, you know, when he left Michigan, there was some talk from Michigan papers that he was burnt out by the college game. Are we sure that he's going to suddenly not be burnt out 6 months after he left the college game? Like, that seems like...
Is this Mack Brown 2.0?
I don't know. Like, I mean, it's an open question, right? Like, how much desire does he have to deal with the college game, recruiting and all that other stuff, right? Like, maybe he got a taste of the NBA and said, wow, I didn't realize what I was missing in the college game, and comes back and is energized. It's entirely possible, but it's a question, right? It's an open question with him as to whether or not he is up for the fight, as it were. The other thing is that when you look at his history, his recruiting and his development style generally means his teams take 2 to 3 years to sort of take off. Like, he doesn't generally go for like these sort of superstar dudes. He picks guys who have a lot of, you know, they have a lot going for them, but they need to be molded a little bit. And so his programs don't really take off until 2 or 3 years after he gets there. At least that's how it was in Michigan. That's how it was in West Virginia. And at that point, he's going to be 70 years old. So how much is he going to have left in the tank at that point? I mean, maybe he will, maybe he won't. But again, this is an open question. Like, for me personally, that's a negative in that I, you know, when we're talking about coaches that we may want, I would tend to favor coaches that I think might be here potentially 10 to 15 years down the road. And I just don't see that with Bayline. So that's my take on the cons from the eternal optimist, bitter white guy.
I think those are accurate descriptions about where he struggled. And, you know, part of it, I guess, really honestly, it would be, can CDC go to Yaklich and say, are you staying? Like, if he comes here, would you stay? Like, can we get a commitment from you? And if Yaklich says yes, then part of me says, okay, well, then do it. If he says no, then maybe that's a little bit more nuanced. Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic as far as, like Johnny said, like, you know, he, other than Trey Burke, and then I guess, you know, like what, Caris LeVert and Glenn Robinson Jr. or the third or whatever it was, it's not as if Michigan won with huge stars. You know, he won with some, like, he created like Mo Wagner and there were some other guys that came around that obviously became pretty good players, but it's not as if he was rocking five stars and just, you know, changing the game from a recruiting standpoint. So as Johnny says, that makes it sort of an interesting dynamic from how do you win right away if you're more of a progress and development kind of guy. On the other hand, you know, it's hard for me to have looked at the beginning of the season with Shaka and say, well, we've got junior Matt Coleman, we've got sophomore Courtney Ramey, we've got sophomore Andrew Jones, we've got junior Jace Febris, we've got, you know, a five-star Will Baker, we've got five-star talent Kai Jones, and like, wow, we should be very good, and then the fact that we're not good, and then also say, well, a guy like Bayline can't maximize those guys, you know, and if he can, you know, maybe we're going to be okay right away. You know, would they stay for him? Would they portal? You know, who knows? But I think there's so many questions that CDC is going to have to navigate, because on the one hand, you know, we've got a new arena opening up in a couple of years. We've got a bunch of players that are all of a sudden kind of veterans, and maybe they don't want to stick around for a coaching change. Maybe they want to go where they want to go and choose their coach.
If he can't maximize a roster like Andre Drummond, Kevin Love, and Tristan Thompson, do we really want him?
Well, I don't know if you've seen Tristan shoot threes lately. The guy's a boss. He makes like one out of every seven or eight threes, which is pretty incredible.
That's at least twice or three times as many as he would have done at Texas. So,
yeah, you drive Larry a hard Nancy bargain.
Junior
Will
is also on the team, so There's that. Matthew Dellavedova still on that team, still doing things. I mean, if you can't win with Matthew Dellavedova, I can't say his name, then can you really win with Matt Coleman?
I think that's where he lost the Cavs, is that he just constantly fucked up Matthew's last name. Like, he's just
not going to work anymore anyways.
I'm going to have to leave before I make a fool of myself anymore. I quit. I'm out.
I really appreciate that Office Space reference more than I can say.
Nahi Nanajad. Is that the
heart? All right. So where was I with this whole thing? So now that we know that Shaka Smart is most likely lost his job at Texas, now it's not 100%, right? It wasn't 100% even when Charlie Strong lost to Kansas. But we know that he has most likely lost his job at Texas. What should Texas be looking for in their next coach? What are the most desirable attributes that y'all are looking for in this next coach? And, you know, how much does that overlap with John Boeheim?
I still think probably the first thing for me is they got to be able to win right away. You know, it's hard to, I don't know. It doesn't really matter if they go into the Moody Center and like are gangbusters, but there's a chance to really create a program that has a lot of momentum and a lot of positive things going for it if they can go into the new arena. with a team that, that people will be excited about, because if the students come and if, you know, I just, the state of Texas is always going to produce a number of high level high school players that are going into the college game. That I think if the Longhorns can truly actually take advantage of the De'Aaron Foxes and the Marcus Smarts and the, I can't, like the Greg Browns of the world, that Texas has that opportunity to be really, really good. That we can be in that upper echelon of teams in the country. And we haven't seen that consistently since the 2000s with Rick. So I would love to see that. I'd love to just see us do that right away. Now, I guess the other part with me is I really did think that Shaka Smart was at least arguably kind of a pipe dream, and he came almost immediately. Rick was gone and Shaka came pretty quickly. Yep. So maybe, I know I've been saying for a long time, sleeping giant, you know, coaches get what we could do. And then Shaka coming was kind of a, you know, a notch into that idea. So really, what can we get? Do I have a clear understanding of like what coaches would actually come here? You know, like I don't think an Izzo or a Coach K or a Calipari would come, but am I overlooking someone else that like Texas is that great of a job? I really don't know. So, you know, on the one hand, I'd love a guy that could win right away. On the other hand, like if there is a coach out there, and I'm trying to think of who it would be right now, but if there is a coach that is, as Johnny said, the 10 to 15 year guy that that's in it for the long haul and wants his name on the court, you know, in 20 years, do you take that guy? Well, of course you do. But it's just such, it's such a weird dynamic, because you see a guy like Beard who 4 years in at Tech is winning pretty big, and you see how capably Huggins was able to turn around West Virginia or whatever. It's an interesting dynamic, but I guess my biggest priority still is, hey, we need to win pretty soon. Is there a guy that can come in and take the players that are already here, keep them around the program, maximize some of those spots, and then kind of, you know, see what we can build from there?
Yeah, I think I think it's fair to call Texas a top 20 job. Like it is a top 20 job in terms of sort of potential resources, sort of, you know, fertile recruiting. You can sort of ironically, you get leeway that you might not get at, you know, Indiana or Duke or one of those other places. Like you can miss the tournament, you know, have an 18 and 16 year and miss the tournament, and at Duke they're about ready to run you out of town on a rail, whereas here they'll be like, I don't like this, but you know, we'll see what happens next year. So there's certain, you know, plus Texas pays pretty well. Like they're not the top paying job in the world.
They're
know,
no Duke Oregon and, for sure.
Yeah, well they're no Duke or Kansas or North Carolina or Kentucky. That's for, definitely for sure. So you know, it's unreasonable to expect a guy like, say, I know a lot of people love Jay Wright, and I get it. Jay Wright is a very good coach, and I would love to have him at Texas, but there is like basically zero chance he comes to Texas because, one, I don't think they could outpay Villanova, and two, I don't think we have good enough tailors in Austin for him. you sort of have to, you have to dial it in a bit because there is some nuance here, in terms of who you think you could get, who you couldn't. Like, Texas is really unlikely to pay their basketball coach more than they're going to pay their football coach. Like that's not a politically popular thing in Austin. I don't see Texas going above the $5 million mark that Herman currently makes for basketball, especially given how much of their revenue comes from football. So some guys are out because they're already making more than that. I guess for me, I have my subjective view of what I want, right? Like I have a subjective view of what I want to see out of the next coach, what type of offense and defense I want to see.
What are those? Can you give me like a quick overview of what offense and defense you'd like to see?
Sure.
Good? Is it just
yes,
good?
I would like them to score and keep the other team from scoring. That is what I
thank you. All right, that was good.
Also, I'd like them to be able to dribble very well. So my, you know, I've been working on a list for a while, and some of the things I am looking for, is that I would like a team that pushes pace. Not necessarily, you know, running horns 2.0, right? But I want a coach that has a sort of a higher adjusted tempo, because the Texas teams of the last few years have played at a pretty glacial fucking tempo. And if I'm going to watch teams put up a bad shot, I'd rather them put it up 12 seconds into the clock than 28. So, you know, I'd like a higher tempo. Another thing I've been sort of looking into is rebounding percentages. I want to see teams that pay some attention to the offensive glass. I feel like the offensive glass is sort of I'll call it a market inefficiency, in that so many teams have decided to cater their defense, or cater to their defense, in that they don't send many guys crashing the offensive glass because they would rather get back and get the defense set, which I understand. But to me, that feels like it's an area where teams like, say, West Virginia and Baylor and North Carolina, they excel at that because they put a real priority on that. So they get extra shots out of that. So generally rebounding percentages, I'm looking at specifically offensive rebounding, but both of them. I'm also watching the percentage of turnovers they force on defense. It's sort of a proxy for aggressiveness on defense. So these are the kind of areas I'm looking at. Is I want to see coaches who are as adept at as many of these pieces as possible.
Going back over this, and y'all kind of made me think about this. How realistic is a guy like John Boeheim? You know, maybe Jay Wright's not realistic. Coach K, maybe he would think about coming for a little bit. He would look at some real estate and then decide no. But what about John Boeheim? How realistic would that be?
I mean, I guess the question is, how much does he want to coach again? Is he really interested in it? Does he want to take a year off? Like, I don't know his mindset.
Let's say he wants to coach again.
I mean, if he wants to coach again and he wants to come into the college game, Texas is probably one of the best open positions in this offseason, right? Like, there's not, I can't think of many that would be better. I know people have talked about Indiana, but given that Indiana owes Archie Miller something like $17 million if they got rid of him this offseason, I don't think that one's coming up. So there are not a lot of like really marquee or potentially marquee programs that are coming open thus far this season. So given that, it seems like if he wants to come somewhere to coach, and you know, Texas seems like a place that would be pretty accommodating to a guy like him. So I feel like if CDC is interested in him and he is interested in Texas, that seems like a very manageable deal, especially like Tim mentioned, that the buyout being a non-factor is a big deal when you're coming to sort of having to raise funds for this. So I don't know about a percentage, but it's like, it seems like a possible match.
Yeah, I think there's a decent chance that we're the best job probably pretty easily. You know, you think about schools that are maybe comparable to us as far as like their prestige, you know. Like Johnny said, Indiana seems unlikely. The other schools in the Big Ten that look like they're going to be looking for a new coach, like maybe Northwestern. I don't think you can really argue that we're a better job than Northwestern. I don't think. I mean, certainly our results over the last 30 years would say that. Last 70 years would say that. Last 120 years would say that. You know, like I don't think that a school like Florida State's going to be open. I don't think a school like NC State's going to be open, although maybe they will. Boston College probably is not as good of a job as we are, unless you want to be on the East Coast. I don't think a school like Arizona is going to come open. UCLA won't come open because Cronin was just got there last year. I don't think Washington's as good of a job as we are. This is kind of conjecture, because like what's a better job probably depends on what the person wants out of like a lifestyle and where they want to be. You know, I could imagine that a guy that's 67 years old might think that winters in Texas sound pretty good at this point. So, you know, again, who knows? But as we said, you know, Beeline certainly looks like a great option right now if he would be willing to come, if CDC cares about that, which there's a lot of reason to think that he would. But you know, like, what? Why did he leave Michigan in the first place? Why take off from that if he felt like college is where he wanted to be? So we'll see.
One thing would be funny is if, you know, with all the Michigan State stuff leaving, if Beeline left for Michigan State, that would be fun. But also, is it Beeline or Beeline?
I'm just happy that there's a good chance I won't have to learn how to spell Wojciechowski. Like, that's...
Oh, God. Jeez, I hope so.
Just going to call him Wojo the entire time. So here's a decent barometer, right, of sort of where Texas would be in the open jobs. Like, KenPom has his program ratings, and this is data since 1997. And the top 10 teams are Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, North Carolina, Arizona, Michigan State, Villanova, Louisville, Florida, Texas. Texas is the only one of those top 10 that is coming open. The next 10 are Ohio State, Gonzaga, UCLA, Maryland, Syracuse, Wisconsin, Virginia, Indiana, Connecticut, and Oregon. I don't think any of those are coming open either. So there's a good chance that Texas is the premier job opening this, you know, March or April. So if Texas is interested, if Beeline is interested, if, you know, that could be a pretty easy match, all things told.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, I guess that's what we can really talk about. Is there anything else we want to go over? Any other specific things y'all think about? For
maybe we could just sort of give people ideas of things to do instead of watching Texas for the rest of the season. Like, I haven't seen 1917. I really need to go see that.
Jojo Rabbit was a good movie, but I was not ready for it to get real, which it does. And I was hoping for Mel Brooks level humor.
Season 7 of Clone Wars comes out Friday, so that's exciting.
Narcos Mexico, that season 2 is out.
I mean, what will you be doing besides watching TCU?
Oh, I mean, I'll be watching TCU because I'm a degenerate, but other people should probably, I don't know. It's going to be LHN with Lowell and Lance, so just, we'll write the recap. It's fine. You guys can go, like, hang out with your family, or is there a speed zone nearby? You could drag race some, you know, I don't know, whatever. Right, just pick something.
Go play with gators.
Is there a Chuck E. Cheese anywhere nearby?
Just as dangerous.
Yeah.
You could
Tim, do they have Chuck E. Cheese up there, or is it still, you know, Wilson Peters or Cletus Peters or whatever it was?
We used to have Peters. A Chuck E. Cheese here in town. It went out of business. Now we have a place called Pizza Ranch. Pizza Ranch. So you are aware, Pizza Ranch was where Jeb Bush had his publicity stop. Yeah, where he had his publicity stop here in Cedar Rapids when he came to be here before the caucuses a few years ago. So.
It seems like, given that it's Iowa, it should just be called Ranch Pizza.
Ooh. You see, I'm not much for putting ranch on my pizza, but they do have a pretty good macaroni and cheese pizza that I enjoy.
Pretend you're getting to know us. I think it's time for that. Pretend you're getting to know us this week is, if somebody wanted to set a trap for you, what should they use as bait? Tim, I think we all know what your answer is, so let's go ahead and get that out of the way.
Yes, Jim Beam, blended whiskey, and Coke Zero.
Let's say they couldn't use alcohol. What's the trap set for you?
No alcohol?
No alcohol. I know, right? What a thought. No alcohol, Tim. Wow.
Too hot.
Wow. Is that too out there for you?
No, I mean, just two hot chicks, right? I mean,
two hot chicks. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, that's a trap I'm willing to fall into. Even if it doesn't work, beforehand.
I see Johnny's face over there. Let's rephrase that right there. Do you want to rephrase that, Tim?
What? The trap that I would fall into?
You want to fall into a trap with two hot chicks? Johnny?
Is there...
Do you want to explain to our friend Tim?
No. No, I just want to let this... So I let this sort of marinate for a while. I'm going to enjoy this.
What should I be looking up right now on Google? Which fall into a trap with two hot chicks?
You might
want to
use Bing.
What?
You might want to use Bing instead.
Bing?
Or Duck.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Use DuckDuckGo. It's got a privacy thing. It's fine.
Is it the fall into a trap, or what am I, like, what? Which part am I?
Just do, like, hot girl traps.
Hot girl traps. No, I don't want to be fooled. Oh, you guys are jerks.
I mean, it's a trap. Like, what did you think it was going to be?
Well, that's why when I said whiskey the first time, it seemed realistic. Whatever, it's fine. Changing the game on me. Mid-game.
Yeah. You got to make those halftime adjustments, man.
I guess.
What type of coach are you?
Hat tip, Shaka Smart. Hat tip. Hashtag second half coach. Sorry, we're having fun.
Are we, Tim? Are we? Johnny, do you want me to go or you want to go?
Mine's pretty quick. Right. I don't know if this would still work at this point, but any time in the past 2 years, I have fallen into a trap anytime someone says Texas should hire an offensive assistant. Because I swear to God, nobody knows Neil Berry was hired in the last 24 months. I just
assumed it was going to be a Chris Beard thing with you.
Yeah,
like,
I was going
to
say
we should hire Chris Beard as Texas coach.
Yeah, that's also, look, there are several traps. You could put a litany of them just around the house. Like in the front is the offensive assistant thing, you know, outside the garage is why don't we hire Chris Beard, or, you know, like there's.
I'm just imagining like a doll you get from Target and you pull the string. We should hire Chris Beard as a coach.
Yeah.
Pull. Like, we should hire an offensive assistant.
We regret to tell you, Johnny cannot be on the podcast this week because he broke his fist punching a hole through his fence trying to beat up an inflatable doll talking about Chris Beard. So, Yeah.
That's the play, my guy.
That or anyone who put a trap out back that said that there was going to be God of War DLC, like just put that right out there. Like if it said that there's new content for God of War, I would jump on that shit. And then there's probably punji sticks at the bottom or something. Mm. Like I would really like some God of War DLC, please.
I mean, if we're gonna go video games, I would probably say like the new Elder Scrolls, like a look at that or something like that.
That's a good one. Like Skyrim sequel, like or, motherfucker.
Yeah, like a in preview of the new Half-Life or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, but I think. The one thing about traps and when you're trapping is it's not so much about what you use, but where you put it. And so I think if someone were to set a trap for me, it would probably be like office chair. There you go.
Okay.
Oh, I was thinking like Chick-fil-A or something like that. I don't know for sure.
Oh, yeah. No. Okay. If we're going to go like that, it would probably be.
They should put half a dozen honey butter chicken biscuits in the trap, right? Like right outside
a
Whataburger.
What a
so
callback.
You think that it's free.
No, if we're going to go, I would probably say the one place I go all the time.
Asian massage parlor.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, that's way too easy for people to guess. Oh, Pluckers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, if you want to catch me in a trap, get me some five Cajun, five hot Pluckers wings with some super extra crispy chips, and you got me. You got me.
I'm amending my answer. It would have to be in the middle of the summer.
Chicks?
No, maybe. Yes. Okay. Now I'm reamending my answer again after Jonathan accurately amended my answer the first time. I adore playing sand volleyball. They have that in Texas, I'm sure, right? They have like sand volleyball.
No, we don't have sand.
We don't have sand or volleyball. It doesn't. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's a bunch of sand, and then they put up a volleyball net.
What's that?
And you.
Oh, all right. Is that like the what the women play, but on sand?
Well, there's a bunch of guys that play. It's great. I think you guys would love it.
It doesn't happen in Texas.
But in the summer.
We're all about guns down here.
Yeah, you can wear tank tops. It's great. So it's something you do with that, honestly. So I think it was fantastic. But if I could, there's very few things in my life that I love more than sand volleyball in the summer when I'm not teaching, and so I can just get, you know, very smashed whilst playing sand volleyball. So someone was like, "Hey, man, we're playing sand volleyball after your kids are going to bed." I'm like, "Oh, wait, okay, I could put my kids to sleep and go drink and play sand volleyball. I'm in."
And there's three chicks on the other team.
Jesus Christ, unstoppable! You know me, Johnny.
Hot
Boy,
traps
do you know
on the
me.
Other team. Three hot traps on the other team.
Yeah.
Tim is in. Tim is in.
No, see, I get that reference. That I get. I love it.
Oh man, this is we have fun here. We do have fun. That's something we do. Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. Thank y'all for pretending we were football for the past hour. I've been your host, Will Baizer. You guys can find me on Twitter at WILLBAIZER, or you guys can find Johnny Brashear. Well, where can we find you, Johnny?
I don't want to thank you for asking that question. I appreciate that. You can find me on Twitter at BitterWhiteGuy, also on Barking Carnival. And then you can find me on The Horn once a week during the season, where I prodigiously promote Pretend We're Football.
Hell yeah. Yeah, so, you do. Or else you get the whip.
Yeah, that's true. That's all true.
And Tim, where could we find you? Where have you been? What have you been up to?
Yeah, well, we're pretty close to tennis season for the Timster, so you can find me poring over our apparel orders, so that's exciting. Also on InsideTexas.com and on Twitter at InsideTexasHoop, no S, pretty great time there. Boy, also I like Olive Garden a lot. It's yummy.
So a trap with some breadsticks?
Yes, I love breadsticks. They're delicious.
The would the trap involve three cups of butter?
Ooh, liquid lard. I've decided that's where I'm going to go. Johnny thinks that cups of butter is going to be where he's at. I'm going to one-up that bitch, and I'm going to go straight to liquid lard and show him how much of a total wuss he is.
I think at the end of the season, I'm going to put together every single Pretend You're Getting to Know Us into one show.
and then we will be canceled forever.
Yeah.
The FCC will just be like, nope. Even though you don't make any money on this,
our 12
we're shutting
fans
you
were
down.
All one star the review wherever they could watch it. They're like, this is not why we're here. We're here for 90 Day Fiance talk, not this bullshit.
Well, you know, it'll be in lieu of an NIT bid or the NCAA. Be like, well, Texas isn't playing, so you guys can instead listen to this for a month.
I like it. I like it. I think it's a good choice, Will.
I think it's going to happen.
You know what you're doing.
Y'all can find us and other crazy fun stuff like this and other different shows on the Hornscast show, on the Hornscast channel. That's the Hornscast show on any podcasting platform you guys listen to. If you're not listening to it on your favorite, go find it there. On that note, thank y'all for listening. We'll see y'all next week. Hook 'em.
Hook 'em, Horns. Johnny never says hook 'em, Horns.